fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's been a dazzling debut season for Egyptian football star Mohamed Salah with Liverpool. The 25-year-old Salah has scored 43 goals in all competitions. Salah and the Reds of Liverpool are preparing for their final English Premier League match of the season on Sunday when they host Brighton. And on May 26th, Salah and Liverpool will play their biggest match of the year when they go against reigning title holder Real Madrid in the UEFA Champions League final in Kiev, Ukraine. Mo Salah's record-breaking season is being rewarded with more end-of-season awards, as we hear now from reporter Samson O'Malley. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with the reigning CAF African Footballer of the Year, Egyptian Mohamed Salah. His phenomenal season got further recognition during a busy Thursday evening as he collected three end-of-season awards. The 43-goal forward was presented with the Footballer of the Year award at the Football Writers Association Awards in London, having already won two prestigious awards at his club's event. A private jet facilitated Egyptian appearing in person at both events, where he spoke openly about being written off after a disappointing first spell in the Premier League with Chelsea. And champions Barcelona have confirmed that the La Liga champions will play a friendly match against South African champions Mamelodi Sundowns in Johannesburg on May 16th as part of celebrations to mark 100 years since the birth of Nelson Mandela. The game is being played at the FNB Stadium, popularly known as the Soccer City Stadium. Coach Pitso Mosimane is a coach of the Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa.
It will be the second time Mamelodi Sundowns play FC Barcelona. But it's a different one. There's Messi on it, and there's Iniesta, there's Busquets. I think it's an honor for the team to benefit from such an opportunity.
Meanwhile, Spanish top-flight La Liga outfit Atletico Madrid will play a friendly match against the Super Eagles of Nigeria on May 22nd. The match will take place at the Gusau Akpabio International Stadium and will allow Nigerian fans to watch Diego Simeone's side, who have been one of the best performing teams this season and sit in second place in the Spanish La Liga. Staying with the end-of-season games, Nigerian international Ola Aina has asked to be left out of Hull City's squad for their trip to Kenya, where they will take on Kenyan league champions Gor Mahia on Sunday. Dylan Kerr is Gor Mahia's head coach.
We never give up, and that's what I like about this team and like about these players. We never got an attitude where we give up. We don't feel sorry for ourselves.
I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. And I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Still with African football, the list of nominees for the Nigeria Pitch Awards has been released in Lagos. The awards honor Nigerian male and female footballers at home and abroad. One of the categories is Best Midfielder, and the three nominees are Super Eagles captain John Obi Mikel, Chelsea star Victor Moses, and Leicester man Wilfred Ndidi. Sina Phillips is the president of the Nigeria Pitch Awards. Reporter Iron Mike Mbonye asked him, what do the awards symbolize?
Well, the award is basically to reward excellence, to promote the beautiful game of football, and then to celebrate and encourage our players who over the years have put in so much to bind us as a people together every time they go out there to play their trade and win some of the beautiful matches we've seen them in time past. Imagine joining the Olympics when Kanu Wankwa and the others won the Olympic Cup. It was a huge moment of celebration.
For how long has it been on now?
This is the fifth edition, so for 5 years.
And how many categories have you lined up for nominations?
Well, from inception, it has been 16 categories, except that for today's conference, we've decided to add three more to it. Two in the female category, and then in the media category, Online Journalist of the Year.
When will the award hold?
Well, this year, what we have this year is we're actually preparing, you know, we announced those for last year, and the award is holding end of this month. And hopefully the one for this year will hold next year.
Who is responsible for selecting or making the nominations for the winners?
Well, from inception, as I said, this award has had its own character. And the voters have always been those in the media, editors, analysts, sport enthusiasts. And then we have them across the country, 100 of them. In some states, we have 3 or 4. In some states, we have more. But they are men and women of integrity who have followed this profession over the years. So they know the players better than even the fans do. So the College of Voters consists of editors, analysts, and some experts. And there are 100 of them. And they vote across the country.
So the event we are going to see in June will be for the year 2017?
Oh, absolutely. The award ceremony is for the year 2017. The nominees announced today are for 2017. We decided that this should be because we just wanted everything incorporated rightly, and we've never had a reason or anyone had a reason to fault the process.
That's Sina Phillips, the president of the Nigeria Pitch Awards. And he spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More football news. One of the Premier League's most famous managers, a man credited with helping revolutionize football in England, is stepping down this weekend. For more on the story, we turn once again to my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Thursday, Arsene Wenger conducted his last pre-game news conference as Arsenal manager. His final game in charge will be against Huddersfield this Sunday. Wenger told the media that he's adapting to the change, but walking away is not easy.
Of course, that's my life, and I don't know anything else. And that's why, of course, it will be difficult. But on the other hand, I will leave a club where I can be proud of what is behind me as well, because it's a fantastic structure, fantastic conditions for the next manager. And I think I have been a little part in the development of a club that is historical and that has a huge fan base, and that I leave the club as well in the conditions where the future of the club is in a strong position.
It's been nearly 22 years since the Frenchman stepped foot onto Arsenal's former Highbury Stadium in 1996. The following season, Wenger led the Gunners to a championship title, which he says is one of his greatest moments as Arsenal manager.
I came completely unknown, and I could win in my first full year in charge the championship. But funny-wise, I would say personally, I would say from 2006 to 2015 was certainly the period where I needed to be the strongest and did the best job. Because I accepted to commit for 5 years when you build the stadium to work with restricted resources and keep the club in a position where we can pay our debts back. And I personally think I did my best job during that period. Not the most glamorous, maybe, but the most difficult.
But it was the Arsenal team of 2003-2004 that is widely regarded as one of the greatest to grace the Premier League. The team ended that season undefeated and were dubbed the Invincibles.
2004, you would say the achievement is nobody has done it. Since in the Premier League, so I believe that I loved the team in 1998 because I found some players who had quality, were much better than I thought they were when I arrived here, and were very intelligent as well, and were an experienced team. After we added a bit more exceptional quality, you know, in 2004, 2002 and 2004, so overall, maybe invincible team, yes.
As one of the giants of the Premier League era, the 68-year-old led Arsenal to 3 Premier League titles and 7 FA Cups. Wenger says he is grateful for his long-serving tenure as manager, one of the longest in European history.
At the end of the day, you can say it's sad, but if you look at it in an objective way, must say it's 22 years when you have the privilege to manage for 22 years at a club of that stature. You should be very, very happy and say thank you very much. It was a great privilege, and that's how I look at it.
Wenger's replacement has not yet been announced, but he urged his successor to respect the values of the Arsenal team.
I believe that there's a special bond in the team. There's something waiting to come out of this team that is special, that I like very much, and hopefully they can express that next season. But you, if you look at it in a very objective way, we scored 73 goals, you know, and we'll score more, certainly. But we conceded too many goals, so it's quite simple to look at what needs to be improved.
Wenger says he has no plans to retire and hinted to reporters that this may not be the last time they'll be seeing him.
The next evolution, maybe I will see you in a few years, and you'll have certainly a European League over the weekends. The domestic league will certainly play Tuesday, Wednesday. And so I think that's the next step that we will see.
Arsenal are currently 6th in the Premier League. Last Sunday, Wenger attended his final home match at Emirates Stadium and watched Arsenal beat Burnley 5-0. After the game, Wenger turned to the cheering fans and said, "I will miss you." Wenger officially signs off this Sunday. An era comes to an end, and I will leave it there. Sonny, it's back over to you. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. You enjoy your weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. And here's a Sonny Side of Sports salute to Arsene Wenger as he gets ready for his 828th and final Premier League match in charge of Arsenal. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Major League Soccer news, the club based here in Washington, D.C. United, reportedly is moving closer to a deal with English star Wayne Rooney. If Rooney does come to Washington, he'll be teaming up with Ghana-born Kofi Apare, who was named D.C. United's top defender last season. In this encore Sonny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to an interview I did with Kofi after a D.C. United training session last season. I began by asking Kofi about his African background.
Yeah, my family's from Ghana. I was born in Ghana as well. So, you know, that's home for me.
I understand you also lived in South Africa for a while?
That is correct. I lived there for 10 years.
And growing up, your first love was not soccer, but cricket?
It was cricket. You know, cricket is big in South Africa, and that's the sport that caught my attention at such a young age. So, yeah, I just grew up loving it.
I don't think they love it quite so much here in the States, but do you follow it now?
Not as much as I used to. But from time to time, I try to catch the action here and there, but it's just hard to watch cricket matches here.
Talk about your season so far with DC United. You have career highs in several statistical categories. Talk about your season. Are you pleased so far with your performance?
No. There's still a lot that, you know, I want to accomplish. So far, I think I've done okay, done all right. But the more I can help this team, the better off, you know, I would be and will be as a team.
DC United, a very international team, based in a very international city. Your background, born in Ghana, and you have citizenship with the USA and Canada. Hypothetically, you could play for 3 different national teams. Do you have any goals in terms of national team duty?
Yes, my goal is to play at the international level. You know, whatever country comes calling, I'll be more than willing to play for them.
Has Ghana come calling?
Not really. I met up with their coach one time, but that was about it. You know, he just told me he's watching my games. But yeah, it's as far as that went, I guess.
You mentioned the cricket. What else do you like to watch or do outside of professional soccer?
I like to read. I like to watch TV, watch movies, pretty much just relax. But I'll say, like, music is my biggest thing. I love listening to music. It helps me relax, calm my nerves down, and, you know, it gives me a positive look on life.
Do you listen to music before matches?
Of course I do, yeah. Yeah.
What about your goals after your soccer career is over? Do you have any particular occupation or profession in mind?
Well, in school, I studied at neuroscience and African-American studies. So that doctor, the medical route is always there. But the older I get, I'm gravitating less towards that and more into, like, business, sports business. So maybe a position in that field.
Sports business, DC United moving into a new facility, Audi Field. What do you think about that new facility?
It's great. It's great for the city. It's great for our fans. Obviously, it's been a long, long time before, you know, DC United has a soccer-specific stadium. And, you know, the fans deserve it. The players, coaching staff are looking forward to it. You know, especially with this club and its history, we're all excited to see to play in Audi Field. So, yeah, we're excited for it.
Kofi Opare, defender for DC United. Thanks for talking with us, Kofi.
Thank you very much.
Kofi mentioned how he's excited about playing in DC United's new stadium, Audi Field. The soccer-specific facility is located here in Southwest Washington, not far from our Voice of America headquarters. Audi Field will have a seating capacity of 20,000, and it's located close to Nationals Park, the home of the Major League Baseball club, Washington Nationals. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, it looks like top Ghanaian lightweight contender Richard Comey will be back in the ring at the end of July in Los Angeles, California. So says our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta.
Sonny, remember Richard Comey was in position to challenge Robert Easter for the title. This will have been the second time this guy's will square off in the ring. But Easter decided to go for the big money fight against Mickey Garcia, who is the WBC champion, and they could do a unification fight. But latest news, that fight will happen, Robert Easter against Mickey Garcia, will happen right here in my backyard, Staples Center, July 28th, with homeboy from Ghana, Richard Comey, be on the card. So you know I'm excited. I must come out of the crib, bro.
Well, Namdi, I'm guessing you didn't come out of the crib for another fight in your backyard. Triple G fighting in the Los Angeles area. Knockout victory, I think, in less than two rounds. Your thoughts on that fight?
I told you, Sonny, before the fighters, no need for the Hollywood man to get out of the crib for this fight. And it was going to be a mixed match, you know. Can you imagine? Triple G got paid $1 million for this fight, Sonny. So you break it down, $500,000 for 3 minutes. President of the United States cannot make that money. 3 minutes. This guy walked away with $1 million for 6 minutes. But surprising thing about this fight, this was watched by 1.3 million viewers. That really surprised me. And it's the most watched fight on premium cable in 2018. What does that tell you? 1.3 million viewers for a mismatch that we all know, maybe because we, the aficionados, know this would be a mismatch, but the regular fight fans, also remember it's a Cinco de Mayo weekend. The Mexican fans, they like to come out for fights on the weekend of Cinco de Mayo.
Well, Namdi, I know a lot of fight fans are still hoping Triple G will take on Canelo. Will that still be happening?
We have a date of September 15th at T-Mobile Arena, and that's, if you remember, that was the date they had last time for the first fight. Everything is in place. They have to break bread maybe in a week or two. Canelo will be off his suspension. Fight fans want to see this fight. They will pay to see this fight. The arena will sell out. By Triple G destroying this clown he fought last Saturday, that kind of makes everybody want to see if he will knock out Canelo, because he said now he will knock out Canelo.
What about the layoff for Canelo? Will that affect him?
No, Canelo is a younger fighter. The layoff will not affect him. All he needed to do was a break camp and chill and then come back and start. We're now in the month of May. If he starts camp in June, then he'll be ready to go come September. He doesn't really need to do anything right now. He can just relax and then come back. But this cloud of failing a drug test will always be on his head, Sonny. Lots of the fans believe that he was busted for juicing.
Well, let's move up to the big boys, Namdi, the heavyweights. World Boxing Council heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder recently in his home state of Alabama announced that he's offered Anthony Joshua $50 million to fight him. Your reaction?
So you hear me laughing, Sonny. Remember, Anthony Joshua offered him a take it or leave it $12 million on the table. And he came back and offered Anthony Joshua $50 million. Sonny, we're talking about big money here. People are saying, why don't you take that $50 million and fight him? It's all about numbers, Sonny. I've always said it. This fight, a year from now, can do 2 million, 3 million pay-per-view buys. You know? Why do we have to rush into this fight right now? $50 million. Okay, where are we going to do the fight? Are you going to tell Anthony Joshua to come from the UK and fight this cat at T-Mobile Arena and give him $50 million? Whereas this fight can sell out Wembley Stadium.
So you see A.J. Wilder taking place in the United Kingdom?
That's the only place that will give the most money. Let Wilder go and fight Dominic Brazil in the summer. Anthony Joshua take on Alexander Povkin from Russia in the summer. And then come back into the U.S., take out some big heavyweight and knock him out at Madison Square Garden. Then we get ready for Wembley Stadium 2019.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Sounds like we might have to wait until 2019 before Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder trade punches in a heavyweight showdown. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi in the days to come. I'm Sonny Young in Washington. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In National Basketball Association news, only four clubs remain in the running for the league trophy. They are the Boston Celtics, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Houston Rockets, and the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors. And those teams are getting ready for the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals. The winners of those respective series will advance to the NBA Finals. In the Eastern Conference Finals, the Boston Celtics will host LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 1 on Sunday in Boston, Massachusetts. Our VOA basketball fans will remember these series are best of seven games, so the first team to win four games will go through to the NBA Finals. Cleveland, of course, led by superstar LeBron James. LeBron having a great postseason. He's averaging more than 34 points a game during the NBA playoffs. And the Western Conference Finals will tip off on Monday night in Houston, Texas, where the Houston Rockets, led by their dynamic backcourt of James Harden and Chris Paul, will host the reigning champion Golden State Warriors. The NBA playoffs heating up in the conference finals. And that wraps up the May 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In an effort to assist the economies of sub-Saharan Africa and to facilitate trade between the region and the United States, the U.S. government initiated in the year 2000 the African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA. Under the act, regional trade hubs, or technical assistance centers, were created. The USAID trade and investment hubs located in Ghana, South Africa, and Kenya assist, enhance, and broaden the flow of trade between the United States and Africa. The hubs, which are managed by the U.S. Agency for International Development, bring together African and U.S. businesses to attract investment to Africa and promote two-way trade between the United States and African countries, creating jobs and generating income for all of us. The hubs increase regional integration, which creates ever larger markets for U.S. goods and services and improves food security by increasing the movement of food across borders. The hubs also promote two-way trade with the United States under AGOA and facilitate investment and technology to drive trade growth throughout the region as well as globally. In that, they have been spectacularly successful, said USAID West Africa Mission Director Alex Duprez.
Since 2010, USAID's regional trade hubs have facilitated more than $300 million in new finance and investment, almost $1 billion in AGOA exports, and created more than 60,000 new jobs right here in Africa.
Speaking at an AGOA capacity building and skills development workshop in Accra, Ghana, in late April, Director Duprez cited progress in Ghana to illustrate his point.
Here in Ghana, for example, we have a range of wonderful products that are now entering the U.S. market, including cocoa, shea, cashew, and dried mango. An encouraging sign is that these products are often now moving as cocoa butter and cocoa powder instead of beans. Many products are also being exported as soaps instead of shea nut and sold as kernels rather than as raw cashew. Value addition is increasing.
And the future looks because West Africa has a large emerging middle class. The business opportunities to supply this rapidly growing middle class in the markets of the region are enormous, said Director Duprez. The U.S. is committed to Africa, and USAID remains a partner to supporting your efforts to grow and deepen trade relationships.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Music time in Africa. Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Friday at 0900 and Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 hours UTC.
On the next edition of Encounter, Daniel Serwer from the Middle East Institute and Johns Hopkins University, along with Bilal Wahab from the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, join host Carol Castiel to talk about how this week's parliamentary election in Iraq will impact the Iraqi people, the region, and the United States. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.